Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great. We're going to look at something this morning that is an unstoppable force. Is that all right?
Yeah.
It's called the church.
Yeah, that's it.
So we're going to look at a couple of things. Romans 12. We're going to read a few verses. Therefore, in the light of what Paul was talking about, which in the previous few chapters is about one new man in Christ. It's about Jew and Gentile being one in Christ, both needing to be saved through what Jesus has done. But basically, in that context, he's saying that the body of Christ is Jew and Gentile, one new man in Christ, and if we can put it this way, across all colours, races, backgrounds. Then in that context, he said, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we are many who form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What a great chapter. Paul is just giving instruction there as to how to live the Christian life, how to live a spirit-filled life. Basically, starting from the point of view of our lives are that living sacrifice. Our lives are that fragrance, that worship, how we live and how we work out the life that God has given us, our relationship with him. But he goes through some very, very practical things in there that are heart things in terms of our attitudes. They're actions that flow from our heart attitude. It touches on gifts. It touches on relationships. It touches on the way we treat people in relation to circumstances that arise, challenges. It covers a whole lot of stuff in that one chapter. And there's one thing we're going to just pick out, we're going to look at for a few moments, and talked a little bit about this with the first years a few weeks ago, but just want to speak about some of this morning and really talk about a volunteer spirit, or talk about a willing spirit, okay, which basically is having a willing heart and a willing mind. So I'm going to whack a few things on the board, and what we want to do is just talk about some things, and what we're going to see is we'll be able to see how we're doing in our own lives, our hearts, our thinking, our actions, by what we're going to look at this morning. And then you can weigh, or MOT, you can do your own MOT on how you're doing in different ways in relation to what we're going to look at. And what we're going to look at is this is who God has called us to be, and this is what we want to aspire in terms of how we live. And you might want to say amen a bit later when we got going, but we're going to look at a few things, okay? Got a few points for you, is that okay? Just keep you alive this morning. How many of you are still a bit tired after last week? None of you. Brilliant.
Excellent.
Oh, two of you. Excellent. Now, you ready?
Yeah.
Having a volunteer spirit, the things we're going to look at, is an unstoppable force. Okay? Because having a volunteer spirit is really about understanding the cause that you're living for. It's not about a job that needs to be done. It's about living for a cause. It's about what has captured your heart, what has captured your thinking. So let's have a look and just see what a volunteer spirit is. So if we just write a few things up here. Volunteer spirit, okay? Firstly, a volunteer spirit is somebody that is willing, okay? It's a willing heart, but also a willing mind. We'll have a look at this for a few minutes. Okay, so having this volunteer spirit is a willing heart and a willing mind. How many of you know what Psalm 100 verse 3 says? Thanks. It talks about a people who are willing in the day of God's power. Let me know. Does nobody know that verse? How many of you at the Bible school? How many have been through the Bible school? Okay. A people who are willing in the day of God's power. Okay. Now, we're living in a day of God's power today. Today, we're living in a day of God's power. Just turn to the person next to you, check they're alive, just pinch them. Gently, nicely, in love. Cool. Okay, what does the word willing mean? Okay, the word willing actually means to be quick. It means to be lively. It means to be spirited. The word willing doesn't just mean to be available or I'm up for it. It means to be quick, to be lively, to be spirited. It means to be cooperative. It means to be engaging. The word willing means to be energetic. That's the word willing. It actually means quick, lively, energetic, engaging, spirited. It's full of life. Okay, so somebody who's willing is full of life. It's energy. Spirited. How many of you are spirited in the room?
Yes. Yes.
Quick.
Yeah.
Lively.
Yes.
Like this pen. Can you read that or not?
Yes.
Okay. So the word willing there is that lively. It's something that's fresh, something that's willing, somebody that's available, okay? So this willing heart is an attitude. It's a heart that is energized, spirited, quick, lively. Why? Because when you're living for a cause, your heart has been captured by something or by someone. Okay? So this volunteer spirit, what undergirds it is a willing heart and a willing mind. So in the Bible, heart, mind often are the same word. And so if you've been captured in your heart, what happens? You think about what has captured you.
That's
Is that right? Yeah. So when your heart is captured by somebody or something, you think about that person or you think about that thing, and therefore, the more you think about something, the more your heart engages with it. Yeah. So this could be positive or it can be negative, depending on what you are thinking about, or if we can use this word, what you are meditating on in your mind. So heart, mind go together. What you think about is going to affect what's going on in your heart. What you feed on affects your heart, and what is in your heart is going to determine your thinking. So the two are married in one sense in that way. And so as we press into God, as we seek God, as we want to know God, then we want God to capture our hearts in a greater way so that what is on our mind is who He is and the things of God that are on our mind. And what is on our mind is we meditate on those and we think on those, it inspires our heart to be captured by Him because we're meditating in our minds on the things of God. Our hearts are captured by Him. And as our hearts are captured by Him, we think and meditate more on who He is. Therefore, He's top of the pile in our lives. All right. So having a volunteer spirit is a willing heart, is a captured heart, it's a willing mind, it's energetic, spirited, quick, lively, okay, available, engaged in what's going on. Now, I believe this thing here is massive in any church, in any context. Because if our hearts and minds are captured with Him and captured by the cause that He's given us to live for, then that's unstoppable. Because this volunteer spirit or this willing heart, willing mind is based on who He is and what He wants to do, not on the job that needs to be done.
Very good. So
a volunteer spirit is well, we'll look at some of the things. Let's unpack them as we go, okay? So this is number one. Number two, a volunteer spirit or a willing heart, willing mind basically identifies or knows the cause, that they're living for, okay? So this volunteer spirit is not about getting a job done. It's about living for a cause, whatever that would involve. So it's not about role and function. It's about the cause. Because the volunteer spirit says, I'm available, I'm ready. And it's a quick response, a lively attitude, spirited heart and life, full of energy. Why? Because there's a cause to live for. There's something that enables you to rise above circumstances, rise above the challenges, rise above potential opposition, rise above difficulties, because you're living for something beyond the moment that you might be in. And so this volunteer spirit identifies or knows the cause that they're living for. So if they identify what they're involved in and what they're giving to, they also know what they're not giving themselves to. So this volunteer spirit identifies what I'm giving myself to and therefore what I'm not going to get involved in, what I'm not going to give myself to, because that's going to be a distraction. So this volunteer spirit, or this willing heart, has identified its cause or knows its cause, and it's eliminated other distractions. Okay, number three, this volunteer spirit, or the person with this volunteer spirit, makes themselves available. For what? Makes themselves available. Interesting, when Jesus said to in Matthew 4:19, when he said to two or three of the guys that he called to be disciples on the edge of Galilee, he said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, they had no idea what that was going to look like, did they? If they knew, they might not have gone. I don't know at that moment, but none of us know. But Jesus said, come follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, they just knew because of the words that Jesus used and what he said, that they had to give him an immediate response according to the words there that he used. He said, come follow me. And he said, but I need to know now whether you're going to follow me. Immediately, it says, they left their nets and they followed him. But he gave them a very brief outline, but he didn't give them the details. He basically said, look, guys, either follow me or don't. And so they followed him, and He took them into a whole world that I think was jaw-dropping for them. The dead being raised, cripples walking, blind eyes being opened, people being set free from demons, all kinds of stuff that none of them had ever seen before. Now, we're used to those kind of things being around because we read the Bible. We've been in meetings where some of those things have happened. We've heard stories, read books, all sorts of things. But for those guys, they'd never heard anything like it. And Jesus spoke to them to take them into a paradigm that they'd never even thought of was possible. And so these guys made themselves available, and Jesus began to take them on a journey that revealed who God was to them, revealed how God wants to work through them. They got dropped in it loads of times. But that's the best way to live, I think. That's the best way to grow, when you get dropped in it. Some of you guys felt dropped in it last week, right? I reckon all of you at some point, you got to give your testimony, pray for the sick, or you found yourself in a moment talking to somebody thinking, I don't know what to say, or I don't know what to do, or whatever. But yeah, that's a great place to see God do something, isn't it? Best place to grow. And how many of you have been thinking about those things over the last few days? Or not? And we've been thinking about last week. Oh, yeah, that conversation with that guy, that was so cool. That was brilliant. The way, anybody? Yeah. Why? Something was sparking in you, wasn't it? Although you felt a little bit nervous and a little bit challenged going out, maybe the first day in particular, you're all getting on the bus to go out somewhere, a few butterflies in the stomach, and what's this going to mean today? Am I going to get rejected? Is somebody going to have a go at me? What happens if somebody doesn't like what I'm saying? But yet at the same time, there was a kind of excitement of, wow, what's going to happen today? What's going to go on? Is that right? Yeah. Why? Because you're living for a cause. You don't know exactly what's going to happen. You don't know exactly how it's going to work out. That's the kind of life that God's called us to live. That we're not quite sure how it's going to work. What is it? A few butterflies, but yet we know, God, we want to stretch out for more, because that's actually where you're working. You work in the extra mile.
That's it. Yeah, come on.
You don't work in the safety zone. You work in the extra mile. And it's when we live in the extra mile that we see the things of God really happen. So some of you have been thinking back about last week, because it's like, man, I love that. That was great. It was challenging, exciting, but this is what God did. And what it's done, it sparked a hunger in you to see more.
Yeah,
you see, God can encourage your faith sitting on a chair in a meeting. But hunger only comes when you have a go.
Yeah.
You'll only get a taste for something when you have a taste of it.
Yeah.
So I could tell you about how amazing custard is this morning. And that it goes on anything just about. And it just brings out the flavour of things. Custard is an amazing creation, you know, on the planet. And I could describe the taste and the texture and how creamy and how full of flavour, especially when you put cinnamon in it. It's amazing. Cinnamon custard. And I could tell you all about it. And you could be sitting there going, yeah, that sounds quite good. But you're only going to get a real taste for it if I give you some cinnamon custard. And you taste it and you go, that's amazing. I want more of that. And so you make your own way there. You don't just live off my cinnamon custard now from my thing, but you go down to Marks and Spencer, wherever it is, and you get your own cinnamon custard because you've tasted of something and you just can't get enough of it. And so I've got to go and get my own store. I've got to have my own stories of what it's like to eat cinnamon custard. Is that right? You see, and what God's been doing as you've been reaching out, as you've been praying for people, sharing, something's triggered in your heart and in your life, a hunger, and it's like, I don't just want somebody else's stories anymore. I don't just want to hear Pastor Colin's stories anymore. I don't just want to hear Bengt Wildermann's stories anymore. I want to have my own stories, because I've got a hunger, a taste for something of God doing things and working through my life. It's not just I've heard now, I've seen it. Because being a witness is not just of what you've heard. A witness is talking about what you have seen.
Very good.
And so that's the kind of life that God's called us to. This willing heart, this volunteer, identifying the cause, making themselves available. When you've got a hunger for something, preferences begin to go out of the window.
Absolutely.
You're less fussy about stuff. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I like that. Why? Because you've got a hunger for something. It's like, well, I don't mind. Because as long as God's doing something and I'm involved in it, I don't mind the challenges. I don't mind if I have to change my thinking. I don't mind if things have to alter around me. Because actually, the hunger for God to do something is greater than my preferences of whether I feel secure, safe, or within my security zone. So firstly, if we're going to make ourselves available, then we're making ourselves available for God opportunities. When you make yourself available for God opportunities, like many last week, then it triggers a hunger, triggers something. The worst thing you can do now is wait for another missions week.
That's it.
And say, well, we'll wait till if we're coming back to do another term, which I'm sure you all are. Or we'll wait till placement, you know, and we'll just, no. We want to, it's how we live every day. What you feed on is what becomes strong in your life. Okay, second one in terms of this, making ourselves available. First one is making ourselves available for God opportunities. And what does that lead to as we taste of something and God begins to do things in our lives? That means we become ready and available for anything, any time. You know, when you're in love, some of you might know that, some not yet, I don't know. But I know when Jane and I first met, we were going out with each other, and she lived in Crawley with a cousin of hers, and I lived down in a village in Bolney. And I was in a band, travelling quite a lot, so I wasn't around loads. But when I was back from travelling around and stuff, we would meet up and hang out, but we'd go out most evenings, or when I was around, just to have some time on our own. But when we get back to a cousin's house, we'd always sit outside in the car, and it was like, you know, sometimes it's like, see ya, and you get, well, we didn't want to part. So we sat there, it's like, well, I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, what time should I come around? Well, you know, I'm busy doing it. Right, I'll pick you up then. And then 5 minutes later, you're still saying goodbye. 10 minutes later, you're still talking and saying goodbye because you don't want to part company. And you don't mind what the time is because you think, well, I want to be with this person. You're not thinking, oh, I've got to be up early in the morning to go to this or to do that, or I've got to be at the other, because something's captured your heart or somebody has captured your heart, and therefore you don't mind the time. You don't mind how it interrupts your schedule. You don't mind what it means in terms of working around the person that you've been captured by or the thing you've been captured for. So your priorities change. Your schedules change. What you give yourself changes because your heart is captured by somebody. In that example, it's captured with, if we want to turn it on the Lord, it's captured with him, but also by what he wants to do. So we make ourselves available. So we don't live in a clock-in, clock-out way of thinking. We don't put our hat on, right, this is my prayer meeting hat now, or this is my evangelistic hat now, or this is my being a friend to somebody hat now. Do you know what I mean? This is my pastoral hat on now, or this is my life group hat, or this is my, you know, it's if our heart's captured with him, then there's something about the way we live that breaks all the parameters, the boundaries, the walls, compartments that we put in our lives. We don't weigh up the cost in the same way because our heart's been captured for something that says, well, I don't actually mind the cost, because what's been fueled in you is a desire for something, and your desire for that is now what you want. And when you want something, you make time for it. When you want something, you make space for it. When you want something, you find you spend your money on it. Or you start thinking, if you want to buy something, and you start thinking, how can I get the money together to buy that? What could I do? Don't we? And you start thinking, why? Because something in your heart is you want to move towards something. And that's where, as we live in the way God's called us to, our hearts get captured with him. And then we find our priorities, our thinking, our time, and our energies change. They're focused on what he wants to do more because we're captured by him more. Okay, so if we're making ourselves available, and for God opportunities, that triggers a hunger and desire in our hearts and our lives. That means we make ourselves available or ready for anything, what he wants to do. We're less about clocking in, clocking out, and all of that. Another thing about making yourself available is that you prepare ahead of time. If you're making yourself available for something, you're thinking about it, you want to do it, therefore you prepare yourself ahead of time. It's like anything. You're organized. You want to go out for a day and you're going to do something, I don't know. You prepare necessarily. So if you're going to go to an event, you've got to buy a ticket. You think about, you don't just, if you're going to, I don't know, if you're going to go and do something for a day somewhere with a bunch of friends or whatever, and you need to buy some tickets because it's an event, it'll be sold out if you don't buy your tickets. And you sort of think about it, you plan ahead of time for something that's going to happen in a week's time or several weeks or even several months' time. So you prepare, you're going to go on holiday and you prepare stuff. You go out shopping to make sure you got your shorts and your swimmy costumes or whatever, your suntan lotion, your stuff that you need. You prepare ahead of time. You make sure you've changed your money or where you're going to change your money. You make sure you've got your passport. You make sure you've got a suitcase that's not going to fall apart. You prepare ahead of time for what you're going to do. Silly example, but it's the same in the things of God. Being led by the Spirit is not just rocking up and seeing what happens at that moment. So our lives are a constant daily preparation for what God wants to do today, or when we get there tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow. So there's a film there somewhere. But you're obviously not awake, you lot. Okay. So we're living constantly in a place of being prepared. Now, does that mean that you never feel dropped in it? No. Does that always mean you always feel ready for everything? No. Because I think sometimes we think that being ready and that's okay, I feel good about this, I feel in control, I feel totally at peace. When you step into something new, it feels new, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I don't know about you guys, but even now, I've been saved a long time and seen lots of people healed over the years in different contexts, whether in a meeting or whether out on the street or in different outreaches or in people's homes or whatever. And that encourages your faith and gives you confidence in God. But at the same time, every situation you come across is a new one.
Yeah, that's right.
So you don't come to somebody here and say, well, that's fine. I can do this one, God, because I've seen all that over here. So it's like, no, this is something new right there at that moment. You might have seen 15 people's knees healed in the past in various ways. And now you've got somebody else with a knee problem here. But this is a unique person right now that God wants to do. So as we live prepared, we come to a situation where we're still going to have to trust God and believe God. Still got to be God that does it. But there's a confidence there knowing that, yeah, there's some testimony, there's some evidence of what God has done. So God's healed all these people's knees before, so he can do it today. So that can build your confidence. So you might not feel as dropped in it if you've seen 15 knees healed before and here's the 16th one. But if you've never seen somebody who's deaf and their ears open so they can hear, that might be a bit more of a, I've seen a few knees healed, but what about an ear being open? I've not seen that before. So we then go, God, it's got to be you. And actually, whether it's a knee for the 16th time or an ear opening for the first time, it's still got to be God. Okay, number four. We'll just concentrate on this for a few minutes. What's the time? 22. Number four, volunteer spirit, willing heart, willing mind is quick and lively. We'll just concentrate on this. JD likes this one.
I do.
Okay, it's quick and lively, energetic, fresh. Somebody with a volunteer spirit wants to stay young. Why? Because there's too much to do. Because they've been captured by a cause, something to live for, and there's too much to do to get old. Now, what does that mean? We're all growing older outwardly, but we don't have to grow old inwardly.
Very good. Yeah.
And so this volunteer spirit refuses to get old, refuses to get stagnant, refuses, and we're going to look at a couple of things for a few moments, at what to identify signs of an aging spirit to help us identify where we're just going off the boil so that we can watch in our lives to keep ourselves quick and lively. You ready? I'm going to rattle through these. I'm not going to spend loads of time on them. So if this volunteer spirit is quick and lively, wants to stay young, it's fresh, it's living for a cause, there's too much to do to sit around and contemplate life, these are signs of an aging spirit where you realise the quick and lively bit is on the decline. No, this is how we can keep ourselves sharp, okay? So signs of an aging spirit. Firstly, you can see if you're kind of just going off the ball a little bit. Signs of an aging spirit. First one is deafness. In the natural, as you get older, in the natural, your hearing decreases, supposedly, and isn't as good as it used to be. So signs of an aging spirit is deafness. What is that? We stop hearing the call of the volunteer. We stop hearing the call for the cause that we're living for. We begin to get a bit numb to the quick, lively response, that spirited, because we've begun maybe to give ourselves to other things or we've got caught up in some stuff. And signs of an aging spirit is, one, deafness. We stop hearing the call to be a volunteer. Secondly, signs of an aging spirit, we begin to slow down, not as quick to respond to what God is saying. Not as much energy, vitality. This hasn't got anything to do with your natural age. We've got some people in the church that are in their 80s, late 80s. And there's a couple of ladies down in Worthing that are well into their 80s, but they spiritually they are this. They are quick, they are lively, they are energized. Absolutely. You know? So somebody can be in their 80s and be more alive and more alert, more spirited than somebody who's 18 or 19 or 20. Because it's not about the outside, it's about what's happening on the inside. So it's not about natural age that we're talking about. We're talking about signs of an aging spirit. You can be 20 years old and you can be deaf to the things of God. You can be slowing down, lethargic. You can have an 85-year-old who is fully hearing God, responding. Why? Because in their spirit, they're alive. They're quick and lively. They're available for anything. They're living for the cause. They're energetic. They're spirited. Anyway. So when we begin to slow down, we don't want to take as many risks. We lose that sense of adventure. We don't want so many challenges. When our spirit begins to age, what does it mean? It goes off the boil a little bit. We want to be a bit more comfortable, a bit more just settled. Just hang on a minute. You're talking about change too much. And if we're living with God, there's change all the time. Third thing, signs of an aging spirit, blurred vision. People stop seeing the future. They stop grabbing hold of what God is saying and taking hold of it and living for it. And they begin to concentrate on the now. Now, we live in the now and we've got to see God work today. Because how we live and how we move in God today determines what we're going to step into tomorrow. So we don't just live for tomorrow saying, well, let's wait and see what God does. No, today is a day of salvation. And so we live in the now of what God does. But if our spirit begins to age or goes off the ball, begin to get some blurred vision, we stop seeing the future and reaching out to take hold of it and bring it into today. Fourth thing, an aging spirit likes routine. A bit set in our ways. If you like routine, we're a bit set in our ways. Now, sometimes there needs to be some routine in the way some things are done. But we're not just talking about the way something is done. We're just routines. Don't like change. Just keep it as it is. All of that kind of stuff. So an aging spirit likes routine, likes the way it is. Don't want it to change. Don't want it to be different. Fifth thing here, signs of an aging spirit, tiredness. Just signs of tiredness. Just, you know, lack of energy and all of that. That's a sign that your spirit is not being energized, that your spirit's not alive in the way it needs to be. So this, as we said, this willing heart, this volunteer spirit refuses to allow its spirit to get tired. It's interesting, in the natural, there is, in the natural, you know, the older somebody gets, the more responsibility they generally carry, because they're more mature, they've experienced some things in life, and maybe they can handle a lot more pressures, maybe in different ways, in a more mature way than maybe when people are younger. Spiritually, it's the same. The older we get, spiritually, the more we should be able to carry in terms of the things of God. Now, really what we should say is the more mature we become spiritually, not just older, because you can have some people that have been saved a long time, but they still live like they've only been saved for a few months, because they never really grow up or take responsibility for their life. They're still looking for, it's about me, 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 you know. So as we mature, and we should be able to carry more. Sixth thing, I think it is now, signs of an aging spirit is security. We like to feel secure. Stop taking risks. We build in safety measures. There is always plan B if plan A doesn't work out. God does not have a plan B. He only has a plan A. Be ready to jump into new adventures. Put footprints of the kingdom everywhere you go. Put footprints of the kingdom everywhere you go. That's why God doesn't want to repeat something. So you might have seen 15 people healed of knee problems, but there's something new that God wants to do in that person's life, the 16th person. So it's a new footprint. It's not just, oh, well, I've seen enough knees healed. For that person, it's brilliant. They've got their knee sorted. What, you know, it's an example. Another sign of an aging spirit, your world is getting smaller. Your thinking is getting smaller. Oh, no, let's just settle down. No, let's just keep this sort of, you know, just down the road, local mindset, sort of corner shop mentality. Aging spirit is a corner shop mentality. You know? This thing here is a big view, big thinking, big possibilities. It's thinking beyond just, you know, the corner shop. It's like saying, come on, supermarket mentality, big. Aging spirit, the world is getting smaller. But a willing spirit, volunteer spirit, the world is there. There's an opportunity is waiting for things to happen, okay? Another one, aging spirit, brittleness, inflexibility, don't like change. When things become brittle, they break easily. When things become brittle, there's not a lot of room for manoeuvre. It's like walking on eggshells. And if there's things in your life where there's eggshells going on, it's because maybe there's a little bit of ageing getting in there. Your spirit just needs to be refreshed and livened up a bit so that you become flexible, bendy, for what God wants to do. So another one here. Ageing spirit likes minimum effort. I don't really want to do much. Now, what we mean by that is it's all got to be done in the power of God. But, you know, when God moves, it does involve work. It does involve stuff happening. So aging spirit wants minimum effort. This is the last one of this one. Aging spirit, instead of dreams, because you stop taking hold of the future and everything God's doing, and everything's now become a memory. You look back with rose-tinted glasses. The past was better than the present. And how many of you know that when you look back and you talk about things, in reality, you're glad you're not there anymore, really? Instead of dreams, you have memories. You look back with rose-tinted glasses and you say, oh, smaller was better, and all of that sort of thing. But so how many of you want an aging spirit? Nobody in the room. We want this kind of spirit, do we? Yeah. Willing, quick, energetic, spirited, lively, living for a cause, all of that sort of stuff. So there are no old people in the church. Because remember, it's not about age, natural age. It's about what's going on the inside of our lives. So as far as the Holy Spirit's concerned, there are no old people in the church in terms of how he wants to work. So you can be 85 and you can be full of it.
Yes. Come on, then.
Okay, number five then, the fifth one on here. You won't see it if I write it. Volunteer spirit exudes humility. Exudes humility. Why? Because the volunteer spirit says, I'm available. I haven't got preferences. I'll do whatever. And it's interesting, the volunteer spirit will do whatever it's asked, but there's something more that's going on in the person with a volunteer spirit, with this willing, lively, quick attitude. They are looking to get involved. They are looking to be an answer. They are looking to solve problems. They are looking to make sure that there are no cracks appearing. They are looking to see things happen. So there isn't the preference there. Well, I'll only do this if I like it, and I'll only do it if it really, you know, if I've got time and all of that kind of stuff. The volunteer spirit says, no, I'll make time.
Come on. Right. Very good.
Let's have a look. This probably is the last one because of the time. Volunteer spirit is always a joyful spirit.
Yes.
I've had to do a little bit of internal whatever recently, and just to get myself sorted in this area, just with various things that we're doing, working through challenges, there's just stuff. It's very easy to get weighed down with certain things. So this volunteer spirit is a joyful spirit, happy, fun to be around. And, you know, somebody's got a volunteer spirit, they get their kicks from serving and giving, from just doing whatever needs to be done to get the job done in that respect. So have I got any more points? I think I've got a few. Do you want any more or not? Actually, I haven't got any more. I did have, but I've left the other piece of paper somewhere else. Brilliant. Oh, I've got some more. You ready?
Yeah.
Volunteer spirit. I love this one. Somebody with a volunteer spirit is always the first to arrive and the last to leave. The volunteer spirit never looks at the clock and says, what time am I supposed to be there? What time do I have to be there? Wrong question. Somebody with a volunteer spirit, whatever it is, knows when it starts, when the doors open, and when the doors are going to be shut. And the volunteer spirit says, I'm there. Because I'm not there for myself, I'm there for everybody else. I'm there to make this thing happen and for it to be whatever it needs to be. So that's what I'm there for. So the volunteer spirit overlooks the small stuff to get the job done. Volunteer spirit wants to work well in a team because it's not about me, it's about all of us. Volunteer spirit doesn't mind if they suffer setbacks and knockbacks or hurts, but because that volunteer spirit will spring back like a Weeble's wobble that will not fall down. They always pop back up. Anybody seen those toys? Yeah. Weebles, wobbles, because they don't fall down, you know? You can smack them around. You can throw them on the floor. You can do, and they bobble back up with a big grin on their face. And they're like, try that again. I'm still going to pop back up. That's the volunteer spirit. This thing is lively, energetic, spirited. You can't put me down. That's what this is all about. There are always setbacks in life. There's always negativity going on. There's always stuff that people will say, it's not going to work, you won't get there, this is rubbish, that's not very good. But if you live under that stuff, you'll never do anything.
Come on, preach it.
That's why if we have this willing heart and mind, this volunteer spirit, you're not going to be put down by setbacks, negativity, or whatever it is. You're going to bounce back and come back up. Volunteer spirit is not a servant doing a job. Volunteer spirit is a willing participant to achieve the desired outcome. Because you're living for a cause. What's the cause? What's the outcome? It's not what's the job that needs doing. A job is just doing a job. So emptying the bins, you know, around here or down the church or somewhere, you can either look at it in two ways. It's either a job, bin needs emptying, or you can say, hey, I want to empty the bin so that somebody else doesn't want to have it, so that the place is clean and tidy, so that when people come in, they come into a great atmosphere that's ready for things to happen. You might say, that's blowing out of proportion what it means to empty the bin. Not really. Because if you have that attitude towards emptying a bin or hoovering the carpet, You'll have that attitude to everything that you do. Because this is an attitude. It's a way of living. So everything you approach with that attitude. So it's not a task or a job or a role mentality. It's I'm living for a cause. And so if that cause today is to empty the bins, wash the floor, clean the toilets, so that people can come and encounter God or experience something in their lives from God today, then brilliant. If it means praying for the sick on the streets, that's what it means today at this moment, brilliant. If it means sharing your testimony with somebody and you're not sure how they're going to treat you, or the brilliant. If it means putting your arm around somebody and spending an hour with them because they just got to, you know, chug out what's going on in their life and talk about it to get it out, and then you pray with them and God does something, great. So this isn't defined by a role or a job. This is a heart and an attitude towards God, church, life, and everything. Volunteer spirit wants to fulfill the dream. Volunteer spirit always carries a good report. Now, it doesn't mean we're not honest but a volunteer spirit doesn't go around being negative. Volunteer spirit will always carry a good report. We're looking to encourage, strengthen, and build. Last one. Number six, volunteer spirit always comes with an attitude of a free will offering. Willing, available, I want to give myself to this thing that I'm part of. My heart's being captured by God. I'm captured by what he's saying. I'm captured by what I'm part of. And I'm willing, available to offer my life as a free will offering. And a free will offering is not based on what you get back. The kingdom principle is whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. It's just opposite, isn't it? The kingdom principles than they are. But you know, when you give, you're always going to get back. And I believe that's a tipping point in any believer's life, where your life, where there's a moment, it could be sooner or later in your life, there might be moments where it goes to a greater degree in our lives, where we realize our lives are not, we're not living for ourselves and what I get out of it. I'm actually living now for the benefit of everybody else. And I think there are moments where you grow in that kind of thing. If you're in leadership, you have to live like that all the time, because you're not here for yourself. You're not here for what you get out of it. Your life is constantly just giving, 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 giving. And some stuff you get back is really encouraging, really positive. And other stuff you get back, you feel like you've got a blooming tank with a whacking great machine gun going at you all the time. It's just the way it is. But do I live under that, or do you live over it? No, you've got to live over it. Why? Because we've got this, we're living for a cause, something that's captured our hearts. A church with this kind of spirit, this kind of heart, this kind of attitude is an unstoppable force. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Let's stand together, shall we? Now, we can look at all of this lot. This isn't are you one or the other, or are you, you know. We've all got this going on in our lives to some degree or another. We have. But there's a bit of an MOT thing we can do, you know, in terms of how am I doing in my heart, my thinking, what am I captured by? The aging spirit stuff. Is there anything that's begun to age in me a little bit? Am I getting a little bit deaf to what God is saying? Have I kind of just gone off the ball a little bit? Am I slowing down in any way? Has my vision got a bit blurred? Have I got set in a few routines? Do I like security? Am I looking just for a place of security? And I don't know what's going on in you this morning. But I think probably everybody in the room is probably like, that's how I want to live. Yes, that volunteer, that willing heart, that spirited, quick, lively, energetic. There's something in you that says, yes, that's how I... Now, you might have some other stuff saying, yeah, well, there needs to be some changes around here. Yeah, absolutely. But unless we actually aspire to something, there's no point, you know, there's no point talking about stuff that's wrong if you don't actually make a decision as to what needs to happen instead. Because God never looks at our lives and says, oh, look at that in your life, that's a mess. Because then we're all going to be like depressed, aren't we? And that's how some people think God is. He's just looking at the negative all the time, and you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you're never going to make the grade, you can't do it, la, 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 la. And God's not like that with us. He said, hey, look at me, look at what I've done. So you get your eyes off yourself so that we actually, we reach out for more of him, knowing that actually when we live in him, that's where the freedom is. That's where the life is. That's where the health is. Because we know when we're in him, it's like that's where all this stuff is. Because in ourselves, it just doesn't happen. But in him, it's like, yeah. And that's why he's saying, take hold of me every day. Take hold of who I am every day. That's why it says, abide in me, remain in me, drink of me, eat of me. Because he knows if we don't, we begin to age. We feel a bit tired, a bit lethargic. I just don't know. And this, that. We stop seeing what God is saying. We stop reaching out for it. Let's just pray for a few moments, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you really are the volunteer spirit, that quick, lively Spirit of God. Thank you. You're the energy, the energema. You're the energy, the power of God at work in our lives. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in us to lead us, guide us, to enable us to live in the way that you've called us to be. We thank you for that Romans 12 chapter that just describes what it means to live a life that is laid down. I thank you. We can't do that in our own. It has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just thank him for what you've been tasting in these last weeks of God at work in you and through you. Just something that is a new hunger that is just birthed in your life as you've made yourself available, as you've put yourselves in situations where God can say, great, I can do something through your life. God wants you to fuel that. He wants you to feed that. He wants you to continue to move in that, because that's how you keep your spirit alive. That's how you keep your spirit quick and available and energetic. It's Let's just take a couple of moments. If there is any deafness there in your life, saying, God, I want to open up the ears of my heart in a fresh way this morning to hear you. If you know you've been struggling a bit in some way or other, just say, God, this is where I've been at, been struggling. I realise I've had a bit of an aging spirit going on in different ways, or a particular way maybe. It's not that you're totally off the wall. It's just I realise, God, I've just gone a little bit off the edge here, a bit deaf. I've not been hearing the call and seeing it in the same way. Just slowed down a bit, not being as quick to respond. Or I've realised my vision's got a bit blurred and I've stopped seeing the future. Stop grabbing hold of what you're saying. Or, God, I've just got a bit routine set in my ways. I don't like change. Or, what's this really going to mean? It's uncomfortable. It's different than it's been before. Whenever you come into something new, it will be different. New things feel different. You buy a new jacket and it feels different to your old one. You buy a new pair of shoes, they feel different to your old one. You're more aware when something's new because it's different. But after a while, when you've been wearing a new jacket or your new shoes, you get used to them and it becomes normal. But then they begin to wear out because you've used them for that purpose. Then you need to go, I need to buy another pair of shoes. I need to buy another new jacket. And therefore you go and buy. So even in life, we're constantly experiencing new things. And it's the same spiritually. God works in us and moves us into new things. And they can feel a bit uncomfortable. It's a bit of change. It's different. But as we embrace that, we get comfortable in a good way. To work with that and move with that. But then God says, right, now, and we continue in a place of faith, but then God says, right, I want to take you to something new now, another step of faith. I want to take you to another extra mile where you're going to have to trust me. So there's going to be something new and fresh in that way. And we sort of go through that same process, but we're growing in God because we're moving forward in him. So if there's anything like that that we've gone through this morning, that, you know, God, I realise I've got tired, or I realise I've got a bit deaf, just give it to the Lord now and ask him to open the ears of your heart. Or just, God, I need to be refreshed. Help me to see what you're saying in a new way. Help me to take hold of what you're saying, what I'm part of. God, I don't want to have a plan B in the back of my head. You've only got a plan A for me, and I thank you I can walk in that. And your plan A is good. It is to prosper, to bless. I don't know about you guys, but it's like, God, I want to have a greater dimension, this willing heart and mind, this volunteer spirit, this willingness, this attitude in my heart. Maybe if something's become a role or a function, just a duty or a job, and we've compartmentalized things and we're not available, or I'm not as available, not as flexible. Maybe you just need to say, God, I ask you to forgive me for that. And I've started to put things in a box. Thank you that you transform me by the renewing of my mind. As it says in that Romans 12 at the beginning. Thank you that you transform me by the renewing of my mind. Thank you that you just refresh my thinking. Thank you just you realign my thinking. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that quick, lively spirit. That's who the Holy Spirit is in you this morning. He is that willing spirit, energized, spirited, quick, lively. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just tell him, God, I choose this morning to live in the dynamic of your Holy Spirit. I choose to walk in you today, not in my own strength and efforts. I choose to walk in you today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that when I make choices in line with your purposes, then you grace me to live in that way. I thank you, you enable me to live today in the way you want me to. I thank you for a great attitude. I thank you for a great heart. Thank you, Father, for whatever might come my way today, because God's bound to give you an opportunity to put this into practice today. He'll always bring you something to test that faith in a good way. So, Father, I thank you for opportunities today where I can actually live and see worked out this willing spirit and attitude towards somebody else. Or a situation that I can just have a good heart, a good spirit, full of life today. Praise your awesome name. And Father, I thank you that a church like this is an unstoppable force when we live with that revelation of what it really means to have that willing, lively spirit and what that looks like. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you for everything that's going to happen today. Thank you for Bank being here, that as the students are in the sessions here with him, that it'll be a really powerful morning. As a team, as we meet for a couple of hours and just talk through some stuff, brainstorm, pray together, Father, I thank you for that you energize that time. Thank you for Pastor Connor and Caroline going on holiday, that you bless them while they're away for the next few weeks. Thank you for everything happening this week, the VIP tomorrow, for a powerful evening. Thank you for Little Builders this morning. We thank you that you touch lives today. And as some of us are down there today, thank you for God opportunities, praying for people, seeing people touched by you. Thursday at Little Builders, Friday at Friday Night Club, all the other things happening, reaching out to this week. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your awesome name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just turn around to somebody and say, you look energized now.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.